Hello, sir.
How are you doing today? Okay.
Good, how are you?
Good. So in this week's podcast, me and are going to look in the top five backcourts in the NBA. I'm going to have my list, and then Drew will have his list, which might be not as good. Okay, so now we looking up the backcourt. Actually, I somehow looked up some history about all the top assist getters in the NBA, and I had no idea. Paul is in the top five. Chris Paul for the Phoenix Suns. He's got 10,000 assists career. Some other people who are still active who have these numbers are James Harden. He's got 10,000. Or no, sorry, LeBron James has got 10,000. Russell Westbrook's got 8,000. Even Rondo's got 7,000. It really shows the strength of point guards in the league that when people actually play point guard and pass the ball, how high the numbers can get. I saw as well Stockton's at the top with 15,000. Obviously, he's one of the best playmakers, gets everybody on the team involved and makes them all better, which makes him an extremely perfect example of a professional. And then you've got Jason Kidd with 12,000. Jason Kidd had a lot of assists. I got to mention his turnovers, though. He had a lot of them. But again, he was a great leader, and I think he won one title, so that's worth mentioning. Now, the other thing when it comes to a backcourt is shooting guards. I've got a list of some field goal percentage I looked up for them. So starting off with Beal, Bradley Beal of the Washington Wizards, he's got 49%. Lillard's got 45%. LaVine is 53. So it really certain people are looking great. Like LaVine, Kyrie Irving's actually at 52%. So they'd be really ready for the playoffs to do well. And then you've got Trae Young for the Atlanta Hawks. He's only at 43%, so that's not very good. That doesn't really bode well for the playoffs. Harden is 47%, which again is not looking good for the playoffs. Booker is not bad at 50%, but again, I don't know. The final one I got here is Donovan Mitchell of the Utah Jazz. He's got 42%. That's so low. I was explaining to Drew earlier about how Michael Jordan used to say that the percentage points would go down from the regular season to the playoffs. And if you look in history, it's always true. So unless you have a high percentage in the regular season, you're not going to shoot a very high one in the playoffs because the tension is a lot higher and there's a lot more riding on it. So you see, like Mitchell might have a little bit of trouble in the playoffs unless his field goal percentage picks way up and yeah, he does really well like he did last year in the bubble. Now we can go into, oh, one more thing. I looked up just before we do our top five. I looked up the top assists per game for guards this year. The top one is Harden at 11 assists a game. Westbrook's at 10. Trae Young's at 9. Luka, Paul, and Jokic. Even Jokic's not a guard, but he's on there as a center. He's got 9. It just shows how much the NBA's changed. I mean, you do have centers. You have more forwards and big men really getting a lot of assists and getting their teammates involved, which is good. So unless Drew has any comments on any of that,
Do you think I have some comments?
I think you might have some interjection.
I probably have some comments. First of all, one thing I love about some commentators for the NBA and podcasters is when they get the names right. So I think we should try to get the names right. So when Jokic, we say Jokic. He's actually from Serbia and many countries, including Serbia. When you see that IC at the end, it's kind of like an itch. Jokic.
Huh.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
No problem. I mean, Djokovic is one of my favorite, is my favorite tennis player, right? So he's from Serbia. So from tennis and basketball, I've learned a lot about name pronunciation. So it's Doncic as well, obviously. Yeah.
Well, I'm still learning how to spell them, let alone say them.
Okay, not a problem. So that's just the first thing. Let's try to get those names right and show respect to the players from overseas. And you mentioned Trae Young in the playoffs. Well, they might not make the playoffs, so he won't have to worry about his percentage dropping off in the playoffs because he might not be there. But one problem with Trae, he chucks up a lot of shots early in the shot clock because he has an opening. The problem is those shots are 26 to 28 feet away from the basket. And, you know, those are three pointers, but they count for your field goal percentage. And so, you know, 43%, it's not great, but he needs to learn to, you know, maybe not chuck up so many of those shots because A, it's early in the shot clock, and B, he's not making a lot of them anyway. So let's stop that. Mitchell, 42%. Yeah, Mitchell takes a lot of Kobe-style ill-advised shots because he's still young. Unfortunately, Kobe was still taking those when he was older. Mitchell takes a lot of ill-advised shots, so that's something that hopefully he'll get better at. And when he stops taking and forcing shots, hopefully his percentage will get better because the shots are of a higher percentage and he'll make them.
I always forget about how he's young, and because when you see them in playing on, you know, in a game, they look like full grown men and they just look like they really handle themselves really well. But you're right, though. Like anybody, no matter what age, could always have room for improvement.
Oh, yeah. There's a development curve, of course. And I think that it's important to realize that. I don't like when people come down too hard on rookies or second year or third year players. I feel like we need to give them a bit of a window there where they can develop and progress instead of coming down on them too hard too early. I don't like that. As for the playoffs, you're saying, you know, players percentages go down. And yeah, I could totally see that happening. And, because team's defense gets a little bit tighter, the players themselves get a little bit tighter, but there's another factor. And the factor is that, in a long series, teams get used to a player. And so they make adjustments after game one, after game two, after game four. And so you play somebody in a 6 or 7 game series. By the time you get to that 6 or 7 game, everybody knows what everybody else is doing. So it becomes even more difficult to score, right?
Yeah, especially, yeah, you're right. Especially if they have predictive plays.
Yeah, yeah. If you're a person who watches tape, and a lot of the guys do, not a lot. I mean, there's a number there. I don't know what it is. But like, you know, for teams and guys who watch a lot of tape and are really serious about the defense and the scheming, then yeah, those long series, you're going to really have a hard time as the series goes on because, you know, they start to predict things you're going to do, and that just makes it more difficult, of course.
Yeah. You know, the best thing, and I know I talk about them a lot, but the Chicago Bulls, I mean, the way that they did meditation, in their practices, and they really, that was almost like, a culture that it did was a lot of meditation that helped them stay calm through a lot of those playoff series. And a lot, when it got to a game seven and the stress was the highest, they were just calm as anything, like calm as a serene pool, because they had the breathing and they focused on it, and they didn't get too excited about big moments. And then, but they were able to really execute in those moments as well.
Yeah, I could totally see that. I meditate myself, so I can totally see how it would help them, for sure. It's helped me over the years. So, do you want to give your top five?
Your top five, or?
You can start with your top five backcourts for this current year.
Okay. Let's see if I can. Okay.
Hello. Okay.
Hello.
That was the fastest interlude in history. Okay, yes. So we were going to go right into our top five backcourts in the NBA for the 2021 season. I guess I'll just jump right into mine. I've got my top five here, unless you wanted to say your top five first.
No, you go ahead.
Okay, so here I got my top five here. I got Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal. They're two of the most dynamic, exciting backcourt in the league for the Washington Wizards. I really want to see them make the playoffs. The young players seem really hyped and excited to do well. My number two is Harden and Kyrie, basically unstoppable. I've seen Harden do good in the West, but let's see if he can get out of the East. We got number three. I got Chris Paul and Booker. Both really good at what they do. And then we got number four, I've got Tyler Hero and Robinson in the Miami backcourt. I think they're the two best guards back there. I really think they could put a point guard with those two and let them be on the wing to really maximize their efficiency. But I guess that's a podcast for another day. Now, number five, I have Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. Definitely a good chance to go deep into the playoffs. And I got a number six, and I don't know if I should really go into it. I would like to mention Victor Oladipo, depending on the trade deadline where he ends up. It could be very exciting.
Mm-hmm. So Victor Oladipo and John Wall?
Yeah, I mean, John Wall is coming back from an injury, but his three-point shot has really improved. And he's looking pretty sharp on the court. Unfortunately, Houston aren't getting very many wins, but yeah, since he's come back, he's looked good.
I just want to point out something very funny about your sixth pick, because in a week, the deadline is March 25th. In a week, yeah. Victor Oladipo could be on another team. And and the other thing is that as of right now, Wall is going back into knee surgery. So
what? Yeah. Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Well, that's not encouraging news. But okay. Well, hopefully him and his family. I wish them all well. So.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll give my five, and then you can explain and defend your five. So my five are actually pretty similar to yours. I got number one, Harden and Irving.
Okay.
Number two, Lillard and McCollum.
Okay.
Number three, Westbrook and Beal.
Okay.
Number four, Lowry and Van Vliet. And number five, Paul and Booker.
Okay.
So why don't
I really want to hear any explanation of how you can put Kyle, even though I am a huge Raptors booster, I mean, How can you put Van Vliet and Kyle on a top five list?
Okay, so why don't you start with your number one and defend it, and then I'll tell you why I have your number one at my number three and see how we agree or disagree there.
Okay, so Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal. So Russell Westbrook, obviously he has 8,000 assists for his history for being a point guard. He gets everybody better, makes his whole team better. I don't think he gets even remotely nearly enough credit for that. People constantly go on about his non-shooting ability and is unable to make game-winning shots. But for me, if you're making your whole teammates better, then all your teammates should be good at making shots as well, and they should have a little bit of onus could be placed there. Now Bradley Beal has been great all year. He's been one of the best in the league all year for his points per game, and his field goal percentage is actually pretty high at 49%. So I really got nothing bad to say. The only issue would be is whether or not they make the playoffs. And I don't know if they go on a run. It seems possible. I don't see why they wouldn't. Like when this team was first put together this year, I thought they were going to make the playoffs. But now it doesn't look as promising. So, and I'm not sure why. I guess, yeah, only they could answer that.
Okay, so the reason why I have Westbrook and Beal at number three, so combined together, they're actually averaging 54 points, 15 rebounds, and 15 assists. And
wow.
That's pretty good, yeah. Westbrook's 22, 10, and 10. Beal is 32, yeah. 5, and 5. So,
that's really good.
Yeah, together they're great, but Westbrook, for his whole career, I don't think he makes the players around him better. I know he gets a lot of assists, but I don't know if he actually makes the players around him better. I don't know, man. Like, you know, like him and Durant couldn't get it done. He couldn't get it done. Like, you know, couldn't get anything done when Durant left. He couldn't get it done in Houston, and now they're not getting it done in Washington. And so I love Beal. I've always been a member of the Beal fan club, if that's a thing. But I've never been a fan of Westbrook, but I can't deny the numbers he puts up, even though I don't appreciate his rebound numbers and I don't really respect the assists. Because I've watched Westbrook play for years. He makes a lot of bad passes. He has a lot of turnovers. That's a fact. He does get a lot of assists, but it's only because the ball is always in his hands. So when he was in OKC, Durant would let him take the ball most of the time because Durant got his shots and they won whatever, they won enough. But Westbrook always had the ball. And so he would get enough assists because he always had the ball in his hands. But he was turning it over a lot too. And he was making bad passes that didn't lead to anything. So, but I still have Westbrook and Beal at number three because they are very productive as a backcourt. But Washington will probably not make the playoffs, and yeah.
So would you say from with your opinion, would you think that in the new school of basketball, like when I think of San Antonio, Golden State, how they move the ball three or four, maybe five passes before they shoot? Do you think that's a better style of play as opposed to a point guard just driving and passing to the wing?
I think
for an open, maybe even an open shot.
I think it's a way better style, a way better style. And the reason is that you're looking for the best shot. You're moving the ball around. People feel involved. People are more engaged. The problem with, you know, point guard, you know, penetrate and kick or shooting guard or somebody penetrate and kick is that there can be like a number of plays, like two, three, four possessions where a couple guys don't even touch the ball. And I think that that like lack of engagement can start to affect the team chemistry, the way the game is going, like in the current moment. So I do think it's a factor.
So the way the Golden State Warriors played, like when Steph and Clay were at their height, where the ball was moving five, six, we're going to say at least five times a possession, it really motivates everybody on the team to not only get some shots up, but actually probably play defense at the other end as well.
Yeah, I just think it's just really good for like team morale and also like team engagement.
Yeah, well, I like morale. That's pretty important in any locker room or on any team. So number two, who did you have as number two again?
I have Lillard and McCollum.
Oh, okay. So you seem like you're a big fan of them. I am too. I just really want to – I'd love to see them in the finals once. I'd like to see it. Yeah, I've always liked Portland. CJ, if he's healthy, you think they'd do well. Maybe they – do they need another piece? Do they need a LaMarcus Aldridge?
Well, with Lillard and McCollum, so just quickly, they're averaging together 55 points, 8 rebounds, and 13 assists a game.
Okay.
So that's really good. Really good in points. They could get a couple more rebounds, but it's not really their job. Having 13 assists between them, that's fine. I think that's okay for a backcourt. But the problem with them, and going back a few years, is that there's always been injury problems with Portland, and I feel so bad for them. Zach Collins always has injuries. Nurkic has had his fair share of injuries. McCollum has had some injuries. And maybe there's a couple other players that I'm forgetting about in the last like 4 or 5 years, but it seems like the Portland Trailblazers are always like, you know, they're always in the playoffs. They've been in the playoffs the last 5 or 6 years, I'm pretty sure. But there's always some injuries with them. And so I really feel bad for them. Lillard and McCollum have never had like a full unit to totally work with and see what they can actually do in the playoffs.
That's a pretty good defense. The only thing I would like to point out is that for some reason, people always think that only a point guard should get assists. But I really feel your best shooting guard should be on the floor. I'm not going to argue that point, but I really feel that a shooting guard should be almost as good as a point guard as your point guard is. I mean, if you look back in history and you look at a Scottie Pippen, even a Klay Thompson, these guys could not only defend, but they could pass really well, and they passed to everybody and they kept everyone involved like a point guard. And if you have a shooting guard that gets almost as many assists, it shows that they're doing just as much as the point guard. So, yeah, I would like to see a point guard, shooting guard get like almost 18 or more assists a game. That would together, that would be pretty hard to stop, I think, from a team standpoint.
Yeah.
Anyway, so moving on, I got Paul and Booker at – or
you didn't
yeah.
talk about –
who do you have at number
– your number two.
Oh, my number two. Well, it's Harden and Kyrie. And I mean, Harden is pretty. He's leading the league in assists right now at 11 a game. And yeah, he even shoots 47% from the field, so that's pretty good. But that's again concerning. If that drops down to 46 or lower, that's not really that consistent to win in the playoffs. But then he's got Harden and Kyrie. So I mean, Harden, the way he plays is very dominant. He's the most dominant backcourt player I think besides Jordan maybe that I've ever seen. I mean, Shaq was probably the most dominant up front, but and then you've got Kyrie, who's so good in the final minutes, and he hits so many so many challenge shots. Yeah. I wouldn't mind seeing them pass and get people more open shots as opposed to being contested on a lot of them. That goes for almost everybody I see in the league. But, I mean, that's probably another podcast, though.
So,
because in real team sports, you're supposed to pass the ball till somebody's open. You're not supposed to take contested shots.
Yeah, before you move on to your number three, I'll talk about my number one, Harden and Irving. So Harden and Irving combined are getting 53 points, 13 rebounds, and 17 assists. So,
that's really good.
So, but I mean, the main bulk of it is Harden. So, I mean, Harden gets 25 points a game, 8 rebounds, and 11 assists. Irving, respectfully, gets 28 points, 5 rebounds, and 6 assists. So, together, 17 assists, that's leading all these other backcourts that we have talked about or are going to talk about. 17 assists together. So, they're working great together. Harden has the ball more, but Irving has it when Harden's out for sure. And Irving has it sometimes when Harden's in. And so the way that they're kind of sharing the point guard responsibilities, I think it's great. And then they're both obviously amazing scorers. And they're also part of a team rebounding strategy. And that's working out really well too. And the Nets are just looking great, mainly because of them, since Durant has been out for a month and a half or 2 months now. So Harden and Irving are the reason why this team, a big reason why this team is so successful.
I think they could win almost just with those two. I really feel like it's hard to mention without mentioning Durant, because in the playoffs with Durant there, I don't see how anybody beats them. I really, if he's healthy and he's ready to go, they'll be really hard. They'll be a really tough team to beat.
Yeah, I think there's, before you talk about Paul and Booker, I think there's two things happening right now. The Nets are making sure that Durant is 110% before he goes back, and the Lakers are doing the same thing with AD, and I think it's very smart by both the teams, because these are the two teams that are probably going to be in the finals.
And I had a question. Do you think that Kyrie and Harden are the best? Is Kyrie the best backcourt pairing that has been with Harden so far?
That's really debatable, because Harden and Chris Paul were awesome together. Harden and Irving are also awesome together. So we'll have to see how this plays out. It's too early to tell. But Harden and Paul were really great together. Harden and Westbrook sucked. But Harden and Paul were great together, and they should have, they should have went further than they did, but there was a Chris Paul injury, of course. Irving and Harden so far, they're showing how good they are, and we'll see how this year plays out.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess I'll move on to Paul and Booker. We spoke about them before. I mean, we know how good they are. I wouldn't mind going in and talking a little bit about, Ben Simmons and Seth Curry. I thought those two guys were a really good backcourt.
I think they are a good backcourt, but unlike all the people on all of our lists who are decent shooters, Ben Simmons is not. So I can't put him too high on the list, because I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. Until he develops some kind of shot, it's really hard for me. He's amazing at defense and he's very good at other things. But until he can shoot, it just really hinders what they can do as a team, or what him and Seth can do as a backcourt.
Yeah, I'm finally glad seeing Seth getting some notoriety. I've really kept up with his career since he started. He's always been good, and now he's finally really getting more noticed by the whole league. So
I love Seth Curry. I love Ben Simmons too, but it's just just a little bit of limitation there.
I think we're pretty clear on Miami. I would like to mention Mike Conley and Mitchell, even though Mitchell's field goal percentage is only 43%. Mike Conley's been a solid point guard in the league since he entered. And, me being from Vancouver and seeing the Vancouver Grizzlies go down to Memphis and him doing so good for them, I've always kept up with it. And now he's doing great again. And the team seems like they're going to do well. I'm just not sure if they're a playoff. They're going to move really high in the playoffs. I'm not sure if anybody can agree to that. They're almost like Milwaukee, where you don't know what's going to happen until it happens.
Yeah. I will talk about Paul and Booker before I get to my fourth pick. So Paul and Booker, like, yeah, Paul is doing his thing with 16 points, 5 rebounds, 9 assists, which is great. Booker is having a great year with 25 points, 4 rebounds, and 5 assists. So as a backcourt, as a point guard and a shooting guard, which they definitively are, in my opinion, they're both doing a great job. And together, they're averaging 41 points, 9 rebounds, and 14 assists. So, yeah, they're doing great. Phoenix is having a wonderful year, and in large part, it's due to them and other young guys that are really chipping in. But, yeah, Paul and Booker definitely belong to be on this list, but I put them at number 5. And do you want me to talk about Lowry and Van Vliet?
Well, I just wanted to say one thing about Booker is that they did let him play point guard a little bit, and his ball handling, he's improved a lot in that aspect. Like, you can see the way he dribbles, and he's always looking for teammates. You can see, like, he has that skill. Like, he's almost like a point guard as well. Sure. Yeah.
So what I would say about Lowry and Van Vliet, like, first of all, the numbers are very good for them. Lowry's getting 18.6 rebounds, 8 assists. Van Vliet is 20 points, 4 rebounds, and 7 assists. So that's really solid. Like, they're not like in the 20s like a lot of these other players, but together they get 38 points. That's good. 10 rebounds together and 15 assists together. So, like, I have them ahead of Conley and Mitchell. I have them ahead of another funny pick, which we'll talk about after, Terry Rozier and LaMelo Ball. And so Lowry and Van Vliet, but they've been doing it for a couple of years now, right? So I think, like, as a backcourt, they're still doing it, and they deserve respect. And the respect is to have them fourth on my list, just because, like, even though Toronto's not doing well, and neither is Washington, I really feel like Westbrook and Beal and Lowry and Van Vliet are doing their jobs, and they're doing it very well together. And so, yeah, I do have respect for Lowry and Van Vliet. I think they are, like, you know, the best part of the Raptors this season. Like, Powell's doing good too, but Lowry and Van Vliet are kind of just, like, very solid, and they're a big reason why Toronto has as many wins as they have, I think.
Well, now, after hearing your full explanation, now I can see that all they really need is some people backing those two up, maybe a good wing, and maybe a really solid three-point shooting center, and they could really be in the mix again to come out of the East. I mean, it's really hard with New Jersey now, but they're
New
solid.
New Jersey or Brooklyn?
Sure.
yeah.
Did I say New Jersey? Well, I guess I'm too old then. they're still the Nets, though, aren't they?
Nets. So, yeah. So,
oh, this is going great.
I would like honorable mention to Conley and Mitchell, because they are having a great year.
Okay.
And they're actually averaging, you know, 41, 7, and 11 together, which is good. But Rozier and Ball are having a good year, too. Like, they're only averaging 36, 10, and 9 together. But Ball's a rookie, and Rozier is still kind of new to this whole, like, you know, one of the main guys on a team. So I think that Scary Terry and LaMelo are having a good year together. I think they deserve to be mentioned. And it's funny you mentioned Hero and Robinson as your number 4. I respect it. But what I was going to say about the Miami Heat is that you've got 4 guards. You've got Dragic, Robinson, Nunn, and Hero. Dragic is averaging 14 points, Robinson 13, Nunn 13, and Hero 15. So all their points are kind of the same. They all get like 3, 4, 5 assists per game, you know, all about the same. And then they're all averaging about 30 minutes a game. So I consider them all to be like the quote unquote backcourt of the Heat, right?
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to just say 2 people.
It's an interesting dynamic
usually
from the Heat.
Yeah. Yeah. I would like to say about Scary Terry and LaMelo. I mean, Terry continues to make difficult shots. He's definitely worth giving the ball to if you need a difficult shot to be taken. And LaMelo is just shocking the world. I mean, he's not really supposed to be shooting. He's shooting amazing. He honestly, the best thing is his attitude and how happy he stays all the time. But I'm continually shocked by his rebounds and assists. I mean, he gets over six or seven a game. That's a lot of effort. I know he had a growth spurt, but that's a lot of effort to put that in. So if you're his teammate, you've got to be
reviewing that. We got about 30 seconds left. So I will say that Ball is averaging 16, 6, and 6, and I think he's having a great rookie year.
Okay, I did want to say one thing before we sign off. So one thing that Michael Jordan always said is he wanted everybody in the world to see him play and see how great just play basketball that he was. And I'm wondering, and I have a question for you, anybody listening, is everybody in the league playing like that and at any time now to see for every kid in the world to see them play?
Interesting.
All right. Well, you have a great day, and I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.